Next week is the last week, by the way. Right? I don't know why they messed up the schedule. What? Yeah. No, eight. Even I need a break.
Right, we gotta start over from last week because that whole sandstorm thing wouldn't happen.
Yeah, there we go.
How did last week go?
Okay, we have to talk about this week. We didn't finish a very important onion. Let's talk about onions. Onions. Okay? Now the whole thing about, we're going to be talking about onions, and it goes back to what we were talking about, first degree taste, second degree taste. We'll talk about blenders, food processors, and cutting boards, knives, all of this stuff. Let's start out with this because we'll wrap up last week, and then we'll talk about this week about the chickens, the kosher chickens, which is very, very interesting, very important. Okay, I'm just going to, everybody should turn on their cell phones after the show. Okay, here we go. In a positive way. Turn on your cell phones after the show. Okay, so the first thing we ought to know is what does it mean, a dubber hard? What does it mean, a dubber hard? Something which is sharp. Dubber hard for something sharp. Something sharp moves taste across. Okay? Something sharp, when I cut, for example, if I cut my onion with a milk knife, so then my onion becomes milky. Everybody that's cool. Cut my onion with a meat knife, my onion becomes meaty. So why is that?
And that's meaty or milky within 24 hours of being used.
This is a good question. That's a good question.
For milk.
What?
Used for milk.
What?
Used for milk.
That's used for milk. Okay.
Used for milk.
Hold on. The knife has to. Let's deepen the question. First, let's get the prep. Let's get the original din. The original din was on something that's called an asfatita, I think it's called, which is in Hebrew hiltis. It's a very, very strong spice. I one time went into the store in Machne Yehuda, and store in Machne Yehuda, and they actually had it in the back. Ground up. Somewhere they had it. But I think they had like a small amount. I wasn't even sure if it was the real thing. The spice that's used, this asfatita, this hiltis. So the hiltis is sold in, it's usually in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, that type of area. They use it A, for cooking, and B, for medicine. And it's very, very hot. The expression is, and they use it in the Gemara, that it's so hot that if a horse would eat it, it would burn the stomach of the horse. That's how hot it is. It's like, it's horseradish times 10. Okay? So that's the thing, that's the spice that that everybody says is the worst case scenario. Now, when you cut something with a knife, we said that sharp vegetables, sharp spices, will draw the taste from the knife into the vegetable. And as God said, that the knife, we're talking about a meat knife. Let's talk lechatchila. A meat knife that you use all year round for meat. Doesn't matter whether you used it in the last 24 hours or not. That's lechatchila. We're going to say that even if it was not used for 24 hours, it's a meaty knife. The taste goes in from the knife into the onion, and now that onion can't be used with the opposite food. So let's talk about a knife that I cut with meat. I can't use that onion for milk. That's the bit. We always worry about this lechatchila. There's another din. That's the lechatchila. There's another did that the onion, onions, anything else but the chiltis, cannot take the taste and pump it up. Okay, what does that mean? It can't take a bad taste to make it a good taste. Let me explain. When you cut an onion with a knife, even if the knife has not been used for 24 hours, the onion cutting does two things. The first thing it does is take the taste exactly as you find it in the knife and put it into the onion. Okay, that's a problem for us. Because now it's 1 degree removed. It's not, when it goes into the onion, it's no longer called 2 degrees removed or a not bar not. No tang tan bar no tang tan. It's not a not bar not. It's 1 degree removed because the taste of the onion drew out all the taste of the knife. So whatever that knife was, which was 1 knot, but the onion comes out to be the same. That's 1 knot. So therefore, if you use that onion with the opposite food, that's why it's usher, because it has not been diluted. It has not been weakened sufficiently. If it's 2 degrees removed, then it's weakened sufficiently. That's called not bar not. That's 2 degrees removed. Okay? For example, we all learned this already, if I make a cup of coffee in my chulent pot, now you just used that chulent pot an hour ago, I cleaned it out, it was used for chulent, now I make water in it, boil water, and I put that water in a cup, if I pour milk in it, so that I can drink that water, because that was 2 degrees removed, one the meat into the pot, from the pot into the water. It's 2 degrees removed. Okay, by an onion, even though one taste into the meat, into the knife, and the second taste into the onion, we do not count that. We don't count that. And the reason why we don't count that is because an onion is curry. It's sharp, it draws the taste out. Fully, yeah. Not diluted, yeah.
Is this only for a knife? Could it be for any utensil, like a fork or a spoon?
That's a great question. It's only by cutting, chopping.
Only by cutting the friction of the knife.
Friction, yeah. Some people say it doesn't apply by forks. So mach locus, we're posking that it will apply by forks.
What about heating onions, like in the chant example?
And what, for example, what happens?
So does the heat combine with the onion, therefore make it not count?
Very good. Heating an onion, so if I take an onion and I fry it in a frying pan, that also would be the same dip. That will take the taste out, it won't be called the second degree taste. There are ways around it, we have to determine how much oil was there, because first the taste went into the oil, and then it went into the onion. So
well,
you've got already space
to sharpness,
be,
doesn't it?
Make what?
A cooked onion loses its sharpness.
Right. So, but before it loses its sharpness, there would be a problem of picking it up. You have to figure out what went on. And then it gets more and more complicated in halacha, whether or not that sharpness goes back into the kli or not. We say it doesn't. It's only counts while it's with the onion, but you don't start counting your pot again 24 hours from the time of cooking the onion. 24 hours goes from the time you last use it for meat or milk. Okay, any questions? You okay with that? Okay. Okay, anytime I see somebody raise an eyebrow, what's going on? I say, what's the question? Okay, so now,
The answer to this question is that if not a dinner of the knife, it's dinner of the hiccup.
Even a spoon. There are some people that say only knives. Some people say only knives and not forks, not even biting, not spoons, not because they're too dull.
But that would cause more friction.
But apparently it's so much pressure on the area where you cut, since the knife is sharp.
So how is that pressure? That's like saying, okay, if I'm doing shechita,
the knife, I can't use it because the pressure is going through.
Yeah, but okay.
There's no pressure.
It's not pressing. It's not pressing.
But there's no pressure.
It won't cut. You put a knife on the. That the whole point is you don't want to put a lot of pressure on the chicken.
You put more pressure.
You want the knife really sharp so that that a little bit of pressure will work. But when you're cutting, you're coming down with a lot of pressure.
I'm not using a samurai sword. A knife on an onion, I'm gonna go. Or a spoon, I'm gonna go. Break through.
Yeah.
So
that,
how
you
is
know
that?
Why? It's very simple because. On a samurai sword or any of these other things, the pressure is so intense in that spot, it doesn't take a lot for you to do. But because when you're putting that much pressure on the thing, look how much you have to do to cut it. It's very simple. Look at it in hydraulics.
Okay.
Okay? The bigger amount you have on the smallest area, that's going to increase your pressure in that area.
Only if the item that you're cutting through is intensely hard and you're using a flat surface.
Anything you cut.
If I take a spoon, which has a flat edge. Okay, spoons are sharp. Spoons actually have a flat edge. And if I do this with a spoon,
you're applying more pressure.
The knife will go through 10,000 times faster than the spoon
You're applying more pressure.
I'm applying the same pressure.
No. It takes much less pressure to cut the onion than it does to cut. You yourself said it.
I'm saying, what you're saying is if I have to put pressure with a knife, then you can't just eat that because the pressure,
why are nails sharp?
Nails?
Why is a nail sharp?
Because
when I take the hammer and I put it down there, all the pressure's on that point. You got all the pressure behind that on one point. If you made a nail round, you're right. The pressure is going to be pressure, but it's less spread out. So it's not. So that's less pressure per square molecule.
But at the same time, that nail is actually going into a hard substance, not a water-based substance, and it is also going to go in and stay. So which means the pressure of the wood holding it will not expand. So when you're cutting with a knife, it opens.
I'm talking only about the pressure on that cut. That cut. That area where it's touching per square inch. There is a lot more pressure per square inch when something is sharp. And that's why it cuts easy. Because there's a lot more pressure per square inch. I get more for my bang, so to speak, more for my arm moving than I do with a spoon, or anything, because the pressure is spread out. So that's why if you take a big nail, a nail without a point, you have to hit it 10 times harder. And the same thing, you have to hit it harder to go through the onion too. You're not going to hit a sharp knife, you just go like that, it goes right through. You take a fork, and you hit it. It's a lot harder to put it through the onion.
That's my point.
The onion was soft and still at the same thin. That's the question. Like, the onion is very, very soft.
The point is when you spread out, when you the bigger, the wider the base, the less pressure per point. Now you're squeezing it rather than cutting it, the less pressure. There is a lot more pressure at the actual point of contact. You go like this, I might be putting a lot of pressure on something, but it's not cutting it. It's just smashing it.
You're saying it changes the din of cutting it?
Cutting it is the worst case scenario. Because cutting it is cutting it. It's not breaking it and smashing
it. But you have to just change. That's why there's a maplocus on
There, some people will say that the cutting, the forks and everything else is the same. And that's what we postulate, that it's the same. Some people will say by cutting, it's worse. Because that point of contact, there's a heck of a lot more pressure. That's why things are sharp. They just cut easier because the pressure is more focused and it cuts easier. You're focusing. That's what they say. We can talk about the physics of it after.
Okay. So what you're saying is that because you used a milk or a meat knife and you cut that onion,
right?
The residue of that, is it a clean knife?
It's a clean knife. By the way, it's all clean. All our knives are clean.
Okay.
But it's more like the friction and the sharpness together take out of the knife. It draws the taste out of the knife.
Pleasure
taste. It's going to draw the taste of the meat out of the knife. It's going to go into the onion. Not only will it go into the onion, the meat taste will go into the onion. By the way, time out. We talked about this before, but if I cook I'm just going to remind you, if I cook my chole in a meat pot, okay, my chole, I cook meat, only meat in my pot, clean it out and boil water. Lamaisa, will I taste meat?
Today's pot.
What does that claim water?
That's some sort of flavor to it.
It's not gonna.
What does that claim
water?
It's not gonna.
It's different.
You think it'll taste a little different?
It won't taste like just plain boiled water.
So you think you'll taste something?
I don't know what it means.
How much is really bolea in our stainless steel pots? And I'm asking because how much is really bolea in the knife? How much does a knife really absorb? How much is a pot really absorb? How much is... What?
Really nothing.
Nothing. I mean, it's stainless steel. Come on.
It's stainless steel. It doesn't absorb anything.
How much is really going in? And yet everybody will say when you cook in the meat pot, okay, you ruined your food. You cook milk in the meat pot. Now your food is awesome. But come on, how much taste went in there?
Nothing.
I wouldn't possibly like that, and we don't possibly like that. But why? Why? I'm asking why. By the way, if you in the old days, the mechaber would call his neighbor, and he would say to his non-Jewish neighbor, "Go and taste it." And you know, and the mechaber would paskin, it's okay. Because how much is really in there? Nothing, almost nothing, zero effort. If he couldn't find anybody, he would measure 60. What? Ceramic is worse. Ceramic is the worst case scenario. It's like a cleocaris, but the same also is very similar. How much is really coming out of my ceramic pot? So why are we measuring 60? We know, come on, everybody. It's like, go tell somebody who's not religious that, you know, this pot is full of meat taste. Don't look like you fell off the moon. This pot is full of meat taste? You know, yeah, and if I cook milk in it, now I'm going to taste the meat in the milk, but since I can't get anybody to prove it, I'm going to say that it's awesome. They'll look at you like you're crazy. So why are we machmir? Why? There's two reasons. There's two reasons. We said this before, we'll say it again. There's two reasons. One reason is we learn from the udder of a cow. We learn from the udder of a cow. If we cook an udder of a cow, right? If we cook an udder of a cow without emptying the milk, we need 60 against the udder of the cow. Okay, you can include the udder too, against the milk. Why? Because we don't know how much milk is in there. The minute we don't know how much milk is in there, something went in, even on a microscopic level, something went into this pot. Now, since something went in and we don't know how much, we have to take the worst case scenario that's what we learned from the Gemara that says that you always measure 60 in things that you don't know how much is there. You cook a piece of meat without salting it. You need 60 against a piece of meat because you don't know how much blood is in the meat. Anytime you don't know how much the taste absorbed, how much the thing absorbed, you measure 60 against it. Okay? So I don't know how much this pot absorbed. So I say the whole pot is flacious. Okay, that's the first answer. There's another answer that said we do not give over the measurements for the kahal to do on their own. In other words, we're gonna always paskin you need 60 because the minute I say that, okay, you know, you decide. Reuven's going to decide, Shimon's going to decide, everybody's going to decide on their own how much the pot was bolea, then all of a sudden nothing will become trace. Shimon will say, ah, my pot, stainless steel. Didn't belay hardly anything. Somebody will say, well, my pot is 20, my pot's 30. You'll never, and then you'll lose the whole thing and nothing will become true. So that's the two reasons why we say that when I use metal kalim, I use any of these things, that the whole knife became usser when I cut my hot meat. The whole pot became usser or full of meat when I cooked the cholent. Because I don't know how much went in. Or because we don't let you start playing around with measurements, because that will ruin things. This type of thought comes up later on in many, many halachas that we find. Now let's go back to our knife case. So the dabar hari, something which is a sharp food, has the ability to do two things. We learn that if the kli is eino ben yoma, that means it was not used in 24 hours, its taste cannot usher anymore. So if I take a regular knife that hasn't been used for 24 hours, for example, and it's clean, and I cut cheese with it, the cheese is good to go, I can eat it, and my meat knife is good. Just wash it off, because nothing's transferred. Nothing's transferred, and even if something would have been transferred, let's say I take my meat knife and I cut a pizza with it, but the knife was not used for 24 hours. So the knife's going to be usser because the pizza goes into my meat knife. But my knife cannot usser my pizza because the knife has not been used for 24 hours. The taste in the knife is spoiled. That's called eino ben yoma. But if I cut an onion, and this happens a lot of times to people, I get this call every so often. I cut an onion with my milk knife. Let's say it was a milk knife that was used for 24 hours. I used it when I was cooking butter and eggs to stir the eggs there in the frying pan. So now but it was not, but that was already 2 days ago. Okay, so my knife is milchix. Okay, or over the period of weeks and weeks and weeks of using it, I must have used it at some time to stir or do something hot with it. So my knife is for sure a milchix knife. I did use it at one time for a kli rishon, it absorbed milk. But I never used it within the last 24 hours. The question is, if I didn't use it within the last 24 hours and I cut an onion with it, a milk knife, and I cut an onion with it, and this happens a lot, more than what you think. And now I put it into my soup or my cholent. What's the din? Do I need 60 against my onion? That's the question. Because now I have a milky onion going into my meaty food. Yes. What? Okay. Excellent question. The halacha is you go according to the bigger, and you go according to the smaller. If it's a big onion and a small knife, you only need 60 against your knife. If it's a small onion and a big knife, so then you go according to the onion. Because it can't absorb bigger than itself. Perfect question. So we're saying, let's talk that the knife was smaller, that the onion was smaller than my knife. Okay, so I cut a little onion. And I threw it into my chicken soup. Okay. Now that onion is a milchix onion going into my chicken soup. That's the din lehatchila. Why? Because we said that an onion can do two things. It can take a bad taste and make it a good taste because it's sharp. And it's not called the second degree taste. It takes the taste out of the knife exactly as it is and moves it into the onion. Yes?
Another onion afterwards, the same knife.
With the same knife? Another onion?
The same onion also gets something
else. It goes up until the 60. This is why we're able to drink lemon juice and things like that. Or you take a lemon in a trafe restaurant. Because after a while, they cut enough lemons, and then the onion can't, the knife can't give off.
This onion still has a whole knife in it?
No, no. It, after a while, there's only so much you can take out.
Second one, still has a whole knife inside?
No.
So how do you...
You assume, you divide it up.
All the onions have one knife.
Yeah, if you, how big is one knife? We don't know, so it goes like this. Any one of those knives, we don't, any one of those onions, we don't know how much taste is in there. So we go back to our original bin, that since I don't know how much taste is in any one of them, I'm gonna need 60 against any one of those onions. Perfect question.
So if I have four onions, I cut up
with them. But if I put them together.
I've got four onions.
Okay. The knife can only give off taste the size of the knife.
It's always that one knife.
So if you divide up the four onions and you say, and it's, by the way, it's not even the whole knife. If the knife, the whole machlokas, what's going on, we would paskin that in a shas ha'kach, or any, we would paskin very simple, that if you each onion until you get to the size of 60, you combine each onion, is usher the whole onion, meaning the whole onion is fleshes. This is now the halacha. I cut 10 onions, but those 10 onions are not 60 times that knife. Each one of those onions, no matter where it falls, I'm going to have 60 against, because I don't know where the thing, where it went. But if I put all the onions together, then I only need 60 against one knife. I don't need 60 against that whole onion, all the onions.
If you put the 10 onions, 10 different
meaty pots. Yeah, it's the same. I don't know. If I stuck my knife into 10 pots, the same thing.
Let's say you cut one knife, one meaty knife, they cut 10 different onions.
And they went into 10 different places?
You would always need 60. If you put all 10 onions in one pot.
Well, then I only need 60 against one knife. Right. Okay, and that's the case where they're making lemon juice. Why are we allowed to eat, to drink the lemon juice? Because you cut a bunch of lemons with a trafe knife, and then you put them all together in a barrel. So even though any one of the lemons are usser, up until a certain point, but now I have enough mudra lemons against my usser lemons, and everything is mudra. But the first bunch of lemons that were cut when I made the lemon juice, those lemons are awesome. That's the case in the halacha. Yes.
So the question is now, how deep does the spicy onion drop?
Excellent question. Thank you, Doctor.
Is it the tip of the knife or the whole width?
That's okay. So lechatchila, the question was, how, when I cut my onion with a fleshes knife, how much of the onion is meaty? So, according to the Machaber, only the kedena tila, which is the width of your thumb. Only that much is fleshes. But according to the Ramah, the whole onion is fleshes. Lechatchila. So you're going to need 60 against the whole onion, according to the Ramah. And according to the Mechaber, you would need only kedena tila, 60 against the
kedena tila. Now the question is, the knife itself, we got to do 60 to 1, right? So the knife, are we taking the entire depth of the knife? Is it a cleaver? Is it taking the whole inch of the knife here? Or are we talking about the klipa of the knife?
So
how much of the knife are we trying to go against?
So the answer is that they're looking at the whole knife for some crazy reason. That's a machlokas. What's going on?
Yeah,
you need in the onion you need 60 against the whole knife. And Rabbi Akiva Eger asks your question. Mm-hmm. Why do you need 60 against the whole knife? The Shach says you need 60 against the whole knife. Rabbi Akiva Eger says you should only need 60 against the klipa of the knife. Okay, that's a machlokas. The minhag is to go for 60 against the whole knife. That's the shach, right? Right. So that's the whole machlokas going on there. And really, it doesn't make sense to need 60 against the whole knife. Why do you need 60 against the whole knife? But that's what they say.
We said that the knife is even a clean knife, you said?
Even if it's a clean knife.
Soap, if it was soap and bleach.
Doesn't help. You can't kosher a knife. Or you can't, because it's inside the walls of the knife. Soap only helps us.
So a stainless steel knife, how's it gonna get inside?
It's the same thing. I don't know how much is in there.
So how did it get inside? We said that
I cut pizza. Let's say I cut hot pizza or I cut a hot steak.
The stainless steel pot, we said that nothing gets in there really. That's why you boil water. Even though it's boiling hot, nothing really gets into the pot. So stainless steel pipe is the same thing. Nothing should get in there. How can we get in there?
No, but it comes out. No. We know in our intellect, you know, in our science classes, we could see how much goes in, but something went in. Something went in. That's how they find out all kinds of things. Well, what was this used to cook with? You can find out what was in there. There's trace stuff that goes into these pots. There is little pores. It's not completely that nothing goes in. Stainless steel will eventually something. I think it may even rust eventually. I don't know. Something will go in. But we don't know how much. But no matter how, and therefore, since we don't know how much went in, we're always going to be machmir to say, I want the number that's going to get me out of all problems, and I'll never have a question. That's why we go 60. That's a chumrah ba'am. It could change when Mashiach comes and Eliyahu Navi comes and he helps us out and gets rid of all these questions. It could change. But right now, it's not going to change. That's the din, because we don't want that to change. We don't want that every Reuven, Shimon, and Levi is able to make up their own amounts of how much was absorbed or not. Every kli is a different kli. Everything is a different amount. So therefore, we might measure with 60. Something went in. Now, to get that out, I have to do Hagala. I can't just wash it. Washing it is a surface action.
Also, it's 24 hours won't help you. Right? 24 hours won't help you.
24 hours, it's still there, but it's a bad taste.
And then you can use that knife for cutting
out? No, you can. If you can't use the knife lechatchila for cutting something sharp, because if I use that knife lechatchila for cutting something sharp, then it's going to boost up the taste.
Oh, well, it's harav. It's nothing us there. Just if you want to use it with the other.
There you go. So if I cut something sharp, that onion is basari. I can eat it. It doesn't make me fleshix. It's only if I want to put the onion with my milk and eggs.
The flavor we said is the flavor is dead. How can it be alive still?
Because first of all, this is we're taking on that the din is the din that it's in there.
Agree. It's fine. Okay. It's dead. It's already 24 hours.
Okay. So after 24 hours, the flavor is dead, except that onions or something sharp has the ability to boost up the taste.
To make it better again.
Yeah. I'll give you just a simple example. Okay? In the old days, and it's a Gemara, you know, when you go to this town, the two Rabbanim were talking, when you go to this town, don't eat the salami. You know, don't eat the spiced meat. Why? Because what they did is that they took the meat, which was spoiled, and they put a lot of spices in it. And that's how you came out with salami and things like that, because they took old, spoiled, rotten stuff and they put spices on it, and it made it good again. It made it taste good. Spices and things like that boost up the taste, because in comparison, the those spices knock out all the bad taste and they make it taste good again.
So what you're saying is that not only you have that flaky spice and milk spice,
No, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Is it the fact that it makes it taste good, or the fact that it hides the bad taste?
The answer is that combination tastes good.
Because
it doesn't matter whether it hides the bad taste or whether or not. It doesn't matter whether it hides the bad taste or makes it taste good.
The
point is that the combination now tastes good.
Tastes good.
I don't care how it tastes good. It tastes good. Yes. Wait. So she asked if we need onion knives. You have fish knives, onion knives, pickle knives, herring knives. I don't know. You're gonna have all kinds of knives. The answer is you don't need to have all kinds of knives, because in general, when you're cutting an onion with a meaty knife, you're gonna eat it with a meaty meal. You cut an onion with a milkman's knife, you're gonna eat it with a milkman's meal. Just be careful not to switch it over. I know that I think Moshe was telling me, somebody was telling me, no, a guy in America. A guy in America was telling me that he used to cut the onion till he learned his halacha. He had an onion, it was just him and his wife at home, and they don't need a whole onion for a whole meal. So until he learned this din, he would cut off part of the onion with a meat knife and eat it with a meat meal. Then he wants to eat the onion with, later on, he wants the onion with a milk meal. So he has like part of the half the onion left and he put in a little container so it wouldn't dry out. And he went and he would cut it with a milk knife and eat it with his milk meal. Till he found out that that's not a good thing to do. Okay? So that's, yes.
Should you probably also fish and meat then? I use a knife for fish. And then I use the onions, it should not be able to put it in the meat pot because it's a fish.
Very good question. Very good question. The Gemara answers that. They said the only problem of milk and fish, I mean meat and fish, is when you have the actual meat and the actual fish. For example, very simple example, the Gemara talks about cooking meat, cooking fish on a meat grill and eating it with milk. That's actually a case in the Gemara. And they said that that's more difficult. And I'll give you a practical example that's asked all the time. People ask me, can I eat my marshmallows with meat? Really? Marshmallows? Yeah, I put it on top of my sweet potato pie. I made a marshmallow crust. Somehow this recipe got out, and I got all of a sudden this flood of calls about eating it. And with this marshmallow crust, and I ate, and I want to know, can I eat it with my Shabbos meal? Meat Shabbos meal. Okay? And the answer is yes. Even though the marshmallows are made out of fish bones. Because it's only the actual fish and the actual meat together. A problem that came up is anchovies in the A1, in the Worcestershire sauce. The famous sauce from England. Okay, that's the because they have anchovies in it. So anchovies now, and then I heard had tearing because it's not really the anchovies, it's the juice of the anchovies, so it's not anchovies. They go back and forth on it, but you should, until they got rid of the anchovies, or they to get it after, you said, oh, you, or whatever is after it was with an F for fish, but the answer is if you used it already, ask. You'll probably be okay. But you should ask if you use that with the meat, yeah.
Well, you actually use both. They have two different brands. One will say OUF, the other one will just say OU, because the amount they're using is over 160, and the other side is not.
Which is interesting. So they're taking the stand that the Worcestershire cider sauce actually has some fish in it, but it's butthole.
Yes.
So that's a whole other problem because Sukkanta Hamura Meisura, and it's still a problem because you can't even put a drop of fish. A drop of fish in your meat is not buckle at all. That's a sukkana. Then you say, but it's a mach locus. But let's talk about the onions. We went off on that. Let's go back to the onions. Okay, yes?
I'm saying that, like you said, the stories happen the person before. It's quite normal you cut an onion.
Yes.
Might go use it for milk. It's quite easy. Why would it not be good advice to just have a pyro knife to cut in certain time vegetables?
It's a great question. So the question is, goes back, why not have a pyro knife? You want to have a pyro knife, it's a good idea, yeah? I would not, I don't know how many people can keep pyros in their house. Eventually that knife, okay, so if you're able to keep parva in your house, then why not?
What if you want to cook it, cut it big amount of onion, the most meaty knife.
And you want to use some of those with...
Yeah, you still just have it in the huge amount.
You made it, and there...
You forget after the whole 5 days of time.
Right, so it's a good idea. I'm not going to target people to do it. In Akhinami, if you want to have a pyro knife.
What is it up there at home?
I don't have a pyro knife.
And you just use it?
I'm pretty mocking about it. I use my meat knife for onions, for my meat stuff, or any meal that I'm going to eat with meat. Even if I put the onion with fish. I'm not mocking about that. No one is. You don't have to be. So I use a meat for meat and milk for milk. And if I have parve, so I don't worry about it. Parve I can eat. If I'm going to have parve, so I'll cut an onion with a meat knife, and if I'm going to have a parve, I'll eat it on meat kalin. Even though it's parve, food. It's because it's very rare when you're gonna, if you're mock feet about it, you know about it. Now,
I want to make a parve soup.
You want to keep it parve, I understand.
Yeah, I want to be able to
We have a lot to say on that. We spoke about that, where you have leftovers, can you eat it with the other men? All the not bar nuts, it was one of our scenarios that we have. What do you do with the leftover Shabbos food? It was not bar not. It was not parve. Okay, but let's go back into the. Let's go back to the knife. So the knife is fleishiks. We're giving it a din of fleishiks. Is it really fleishiks? Is it really, really, really fleishiks? So the mechapa will tell you no. Go get somebody to taste it. Cut an onion. Let them taste it. You'll see. No, stir. It doesn't give a taste. But we paskin in its meaning. And there's no changing that. It's absolutely no changing. The kalim we paskin. That kalim are bolea, and that's it. They're full of meat, or they're full of milk, or they're parve. That's it. Yes.
What happens if someone didn't know, and he tasted it, and he doesn't taste any milk? Does he get
mutter b'di'evan? The Rama says mutter b'di'evan.
He can carry on.
He can carry on. Can he carry on chopping?
No. I'm saying again.
He can carry on eating.
You didn't know it was. Chicken soup was cooked in a milky pot.
Oh, in that case, no, he cannot carry on.
And you don't have to taste it. I don't taste it.
No, you can't carry on. Yeah. No, everybody passes it. That's us. It's not going to help. Even if he tasted it, it's too late. It became us. We're not going to break the minhag for that. I thought you meant by an onion. If somebody tasted the onion and say, hey, this onion doesn't have a taste of meat or doesn't have a taste of milk, and it was already, the other parts of the onion were already mixed in, so then we can rely on what that guy tasted. Okay, that's something else. I want to bring it to another point. So what happens if I don't have a parve knife, and I don't have, except my challah knife is parve. So I want to bring out two more dinim, and then we got to talk about two or three more dinim, and then we're going to talk about the chickens. Why do I bother having a parve knife for my challahs? We'll talk about it later. Okay. So now the din is that if I cut an onion with the knife, a ben yoma knife, means I use the onion I use the knife within 24 hours. My soup is now trafed up. I put it in the wrong soup. I cut the onion with a milk knife, and I put the onion into my meaty soup. You got troubles. But what happens if my onion, if my knife, which is the most cases, most of the time, my knife was not used within 24 hours. And now I fried it with some butter. I cut it with a meat knife that was not used for 24 hours. I fried it up with butter. I put it in my milk mix frying pan. I put it in my soup. What is it then now?
Mutter b'di'evan.
B'di'evan, I made it. So it's mutter b'di'evan. Okay, but why? Why? I put my onions that I cut with a milk knife into my meat soup. Now, I don't have parve knives. What? Or I cut it and I fried it with butter.
The meat knife.
I cut my onion with a meat knife and I fried it with butter.
There's not shishim.
And there's not shishim.
And you have the 24, not ben yomo issues, you know, stale taste. And right. You have the not bar not, which we said, batkila were makbanam. Maybe those two things, only the batkila were makbanam.
Very good. That's the kiddushi based mirror. It says that an onion can only do one or the other. Lechatkila, we worry that an onion can do two things. It can zap up a taste, bring it to a fresh taste, refreshen the taste. That's one, and make it one not diluted. So we have to. That's lechatkila. meaning it goes from the onion, the knife into the onion, it stays one naan. It's not been weakened. That's a chedushi based mirror. But, and everybody holds an lechadukim. B'di'evit, we say, and this is not only the chedushi based mirror, it's a crazy place, that an onion cannot do two things. Do one, but it can't do two. Either it's gonna boost up the taste, but we don't care if it boosts up the taste. But then now that it goes into the onion, it's already been diluted. It's already a second degree taste. Now you mix it up with your soup, it's mutter. Or an onion can, or a knife can keep the same taste, but it can't boost it up. So it leaves it as a stale taste. And since it's a stale taste, it can't usher anything in either. So the onion can't do two things. Bidi Evid, the onion cannot do two things. Some people only say it has some room. But I learned that it's Bidi Evid. An onion cannot do two pa'ulot. What?
You can eat that mixture.
You made a mistake. You cut the onion with a meaty or milky knife. Even if the knife was anal benyoma. Not if it's benyoma. If it's benyoma knife, then you got problems. But if the knife was anal benyoma, it was not used within 24 hours, and you cooked it with the opposite thing, mutter bidi evit. Bidi evit. You can eat the soup, you can eat the eggs with the onions. Bidi evit. Kedushi based mirror. And look in the crazy place, but it's clearly in the Kedushi based mirror.
Why doesn't the cutting of the onion make it into a benyoma now?
Why does what?
The cutting of the onion should make the knife back into benyoma.
No, because we said that's a great question. No, the Chavistas asks your question. Other people ask it too, but it's a famous question. The answer is that going, it takes out, but when it goes with the bleus without the onion, when it goes back in, first of all, it says it's going to go back in, but the difference would be like cooking. When it goes back in, it does not it does not jump back up to being a. It doesn't. If you don't recount the 24 hours, because it's not with the onion anymore. It's just a taste. The taste of the onion with the taste of the onion going into the knife.
Is that another onion? The flavor of the milk still in the knife.
Yeah, so because it's flavor with the onion. It's flavor with the onion. You keep taking flavor out of the knife. But we don't say that the onion, the sharpness of the onion going in, does anything to the bleus in the knife. The sharpness without the onion is nothing. It's got to be the sharpness. I guess it's more sharp. Or it doesn't go back in. Yeah.
So if it takes out the flavor from the knife, and I've cut 60 onions, does the knife have any flavor left?
Yeah. Deeper. That's your original question. How much does it take out of the knife? So the answer is it can only take out from the kedei klipa of the knife. Later on, even though you cut 100, you cut 1,000 onions, you still have to kosher that knife if you're going to use heat, because heating is a more powerful form of cooking.
But the question still is, if it pulled out from the klipa, and now the taste is only in the center of the knife, I can cut whatever I want as long as it's not hot, because it's not going to drop in the center of the knife.
That would be true.
It has been pulled.
That would be true. I don't know if you're going to do that lechatchila, but they do say lechatchila if you kosher. They say if you do neitza, there's a big shach at the end of Peitet. Read the shach at the end of Peitet, and he sends you over to Kuf Chaf Aleph or wherever. And if you do neitza, you actually somehow kosher the knife to cut an onion. It's an unbelievable heter, but we're not going to go there. It's a big heter. It's a huge heter. I don't understand it fully myself, but that is the din. You kashered actually the klipa, and you can lech atchila cut an onion. According to Machaber Ma and the Shach there right. At the end of Peitat, yeah.
If you've taken a benyoma knife, meat knife, cut your onion, and now you're probably
frying it
with the butter, right? Let's say put it into a soup. Well, a benyoma? A benyoma.
Okay.
It into
that's a great question.
So now we need shish.
So if you did mess up, and you. The question is, you cut an onion with a benyoma knife. A benyoma knife means a fresh tasting knife. And you cut that onion and you put it in the soup. So the Mechaber, Ramah, Shach, and Taz say that if you have 60 against a knife, the onions are mutter. a terebala. Before it went in, it was mutter, and after it went in, all the taste went out.
And now even the onions.
And now even the onions are, that's the machaber, moashah, and tas. The later poskim, the prima godin, chavzas, Rabbi Kiva Eger, paskin, that you need 60 against the onion, because before the taste goes out of the onion, the meat goes in, users the onion, and now you need 60 against the onion. Certainly in a hefzim ruba, I don't see any problem relying on the machaber, moashah, and tas. But if you want to be machmir and go like the prima gona and Hamas Das and Rebbe Kiva Eger to say you need 60 against the onion, you'd have also a good leg to stand on.
60 against the onion means all the rest of the ingredients that the onion is in is really 60 times the onion.
That's right, that's correct. 60 against the onion, you cannot count the onion as part of it. Okay, and the last thing that we got to talk about before we move on. We have time? What,
yeah, you got time.
6 minutes.
Yeah.
You mean it's almost 9:30?
Yeah.
Did you get to talk about the chickens, man?
We'll
the chickens
longer.
Are really...
We'll stay a little longer.
Okay, so whoever wants. Does anybody want to stay longer? Any
what about
answer?
The cutting board?
Okay, the cutting board. Okay, lehat pila. If you cut an onion on a cutting board, okay? You cut an onion with a meat knife on a milk cutting board. Or you cut a parv onion with your parv knife on a milk cutting board. We also have probably parv cutting boards too. We didn't lose that. Okay? So if you cut lechatchila the onion, you should be careful that it's milky or meaty. But the oven, there's a homach locus that's called duchnes akina, when you just cut on the cutting board. The knife and the onion and the cutting board didn't cut into it. It was just there. So that's a machlokus.
Unwired.
You're worried about the pressure of the cutting between the knife onto the cutting board taking out.
But
that's a hachmas adam's worried about. Many people are worried about that.
Where's the makorot?
What, the makorot?
Well, no, where's
the spice?
How do you bring out?
The pressure of the onion. When I'm pressing down, you just said, now I'm cutting down and I'm putting my onion, I'm cutting with my knife, there's pressure on that onion onto the cutting board, that should take out taste from the cutting board.
See, I disagree with that whole thing. I'll go with it then, I disagree with that. Nevertheless, the harif, the actual spice, would that not draw from?
Right, because it's wet,
if it's wet,
but the chile is if an onion is called a spice. But you need pressure on the cutting board with the onion.
So
the question is that's called the proper pressure or only a knife.
So if we're only dealing with pressure and not harif whatsoever, then
let's say I just put my onion on the cutting board.
Okay, fine. But if now you're having juice come from the onion into the cutting board, because once you cut an end off, it's going to leak a little bit.
Right.
You're getting the juice from the cutting board. Now, according to the Ramah, once you cut that onion, it's going to draw all through that onion, the whatever flavor you're making.
Right.
Now, why would it not be the same thing if you cut the onion and it leaks into the cutting board? Would it not draw up from the cutting board into the whole onion?
No, because there's no pressure. That's why.
So there's no such thing. That has nothing to do with the meat and knife, as far as the actual harif.
But when I cut, there's pressure.
Right. Now, hold on a second. We went from pressure, we have two sets of pressure. We have pressure, and we have the spice, the harif itself.
Right.
We're saying that both of them, because of the putting together and whatnot, they're actually drawing from the knife, the flavor of whatever the knife is. The same thing would apply that if I take the onion, and I've cut it or whatever, or it's just, I cut an end off, and I just set it on the cutting board.
Right.
The juice itself, because the harif draws from the flavor of whatever.
That's not so harif. Yeah, I mean you could make a claim like that, but
so
they don't really.
So how is it? It becomes more harif when you cut it with a knife, because a knife
because
is sharp.
No,
the
harif.
Right,
it doesn't become more
pressure.
Harif. It becomes friction. It becomes hot.
Well, how does it become hot?
It's the friction of the knife.
There's no
friction.
That's like saying.
But that's what's called duchnes akina. Duchnes akina means the friction of the knife.
That's like saying when I put water from a kumkum into a cup, technically doesn't cook. And heaven forbid if I put it in a stir, a second cup, it definitely doesn't cook.
Yeah, we're not talking about cooking, we're just talking about
heat
transfer.
It's the concept here, the actual transfer of heat, is the transfer of Marie, the transfer of pressure. What heat is generated? What pressure, what heat is generated from a sharp knife? A butter knife? Okay.
On that point,
when I cut
on an animal, what's the source? The source that Duchess Akina is Shchita. And they say that the animal's neck, there's a whole problem there because the animal, when I cut with the pressure of the knife and the Shchita there, the heat of the animal, it makes it awesome.
The heat of the animal, there was no heat in this onion. Did we put the onion in the microwave?
Harif.
But now
pressure with harif generates more heat. The animal is only the animal pressure with the heat or pressure with harif makes a difference. Just harif on a plate and sitting there. You put your onion on the plate.
So what you're trying to say is, don't use knives. Use a spoon or a fork to cut your onion with, no matter whether it's meat or dairy. It's okay to use.
Never said that.
We had a whole conversation about it earlier. That's not the same pressure as a knife.
It's not, certainly not. But we pass it in.
There's more pressure with a spoon or a knife.
Not in any square inch. It's not logical. We'll talk about it later. Okay, so the cutting boards, okay, now. Yeah.
Well, first of all, it seems like it should make a difference what the cutting board is made of.
It doesn't make a difference. Only if it's a glass cutting board. Because glass doesn't absorb, but your wood cutting boards, your plastic cutting boards, they all absorb, and they'll all give off. The fact that you're putting pressure cutting, that takes out. The pressure that you know. Some people will say, no, there's no pressure because you're not cutting, the onion is not cutting, the board is not cutting into the onion. That's my focus. You should worry about it. But let Biddy Evan, if you cut your onion on a, I'm telling you now, Biddy Evan, if you cut your onion on a, with a meat knife on a Milfix cutting board, not because you have all, everything is I'm a vegetarian, everything in my house is parm. You cut an onion with a meat knife on a Milfix cutting board, Biddy Evan will be okay for a number of the reasons that we said. We paskin that really Biddy Evan, some people say in a Hefsim Aruba, I would say Biddy Evan. Right now, onions are not harif. And so since onions are not harif, they're not sharp. So since onions are not sharp, therefore, anytime you use them with the wrong knife, in the oven, it's okay. Don't mix it, even if you did it in the oven, don't go and say, well, it's already in the oven, I can mix it with my soup. No, in the oven, if it's mixed in with the soup already, you don't need 60 against it. The onions in the oven are not carved. Okay, I have a sock like that, onions, garlic, horseradish even horseradish. Only the asbisto, whatever that is, you know, that's the stuff. Okay, any questions about this? Yes.
So if the other stuff is actually, stuff that's like you're talking about the Gemara, that's actually harif, that's the hot stuff.
That's the hot stuff.
Why are we going ape over all these onions, which happen you can eat like this and no one cares?
It's me not. Because there are people that say we try and let Hakila worry about even the Rishonim that say it. It's an argument in the Gemara. It's an argument. How far do you go? It's Chaval we didn't get to the chickens and a whole rundown on the kashrut of all the chickens, what they have to do. We'll try and go over that in our last share. before we talk about Hilchos Pesach next week. Okay.
I didn't think it was going to take so long to